May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. So today is the fourth Sunday in Advent, and we're still waiting. And I have one question for all of you. Have you finished your Christmas shopping? I got a couple of no's at the 8 o'clock service, and a lot of these. I actually discovered online shopping this year, so I'm good. So this season of Advent, it's been observed for centuries. But apart from a church calendar, the average person will dub this time of the year the holiday season. And it's a time where there's a flurry of activities, parties, and special events, along with all the decorating and baking and shopping for the absolute perfect gift for everyone on your list. For some, it's an incredibly joyful time. For others, it's an incredibly stressful time. And for still others, it's a heartbreaking time. We're worn out by the time Christmas Day actually gets here, with all of the holiday activity and the weight of our and others' expectations for the season. But for us this morning, and for the last several Sundays, we are blessed to have this time, these moments together in this sacred space, where we can cease all of the frenetic activity for just a brief time and just breathe and sit back and allow ourselves to enter into the silence and the mystery of this Advent time. So the word Advent literally means arrival. We wait for the arrival of a child to be born into this world, born in an obscure backwater town, in an occupied land, a world that was torn by strife, hatred, division, and poverty. A child whose coming was so longed for by the prophets that they saw and they spoke of his coming with an aching intensity thousands of years before he was even born, singing songs of a Messiah who would bring peace and justice into the world. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. The eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame will leap like deer. I will save the lame and gather the outcast. I will bring you home. The prophet's words are echoed later by Mary, his mother. He has shown strength with his arm. He's scattered the proud, brought down the mighty from their thrones, and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. These are not sentiments that will ever be found on a Hallmark card. These are words that anticipate and prepare a place for us at the manger to contemplate the audacious, the astounding, towering, life-affirming, world-changing event of this long-awaited birth. We who have all grown up with all of the sentimentality that surrounds Christmas, we forget what an extraordinary moment in time this was and still is. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote about this from his prison cell in Nazi Germany. We have become accustomed to the idea of divine love And the idea of God's coming at Christmas, that we no longer feel the shiver of fear that God's coming at Christmas, that we no longer feel the shiver of fear that God's coming should arouse in us. We are indifferent to the message, taking only the pleasant and the agreeable out of it and forgetting the serious aspect that the God of the world draws near to the people on our little earth and lays claim to us. The coming of God is truly not only glad tidings, but first of all, frightening news for everyone and anyone who has a conscience. Advent is not just a countdown to Christmas, opening numbered windows with chocolate behind it. It's pointing the way to something momentous, something amazing, foretold by the prophets long, long, long ago, telling us that God was coming into our midst in of our messy, sad, broken world. And that coming is not just a sentimental moment with a sweet, smiling baby. We will stand at that manger and see a child who will grow up to be tortured and die alone on a cross. And we will realize that this child will heal the sick, give sight to the blind, bring light into the darkness of every corner on this earth, and into our lives, changing our lives and this world forever. Brian McLaren wrote, "Politicians compete for big offices, armies march, business tycoons scramble for the biggest piece of the pie, scientists study, philosophers philosophize, preachers preach, and laborers sweat. But in that silent baby, lying in that humble manger, there pulses more potent power and wisdom and grace and aliveness than any of us can possibly imagine." So on this fourth Sunday in Advent, we wait for Christmas. And for many of us, it's not really the cool presents that we're waiting for. We are waiting for the light to shine in the darkness of our lives and in the world, and know that the darkness will not overcome it. We are waiting on this baby Jesus to be born anew, knowing that this child will change the world and will once again show us the way. The gospel today tells us that this child we wait for shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is with us, right here, right now, with you and with me. Christ is right here, right now. He's with the frightened and the dying in Aleppo and in all parts of the world where people are suffering or they're alone. He's on the streets. He's cold and he's hungry, with the homeless on the streets. The city's everywhere. He's with the refugee. He's with those fleeing persecution, everywhere and anywhere, calling to us today. He confronts us in every person we meet, in our neighbors, in our friends, the least, the lost. He stands at our door. He stands at that door with a ruined body and torn clothing, and he asks for our help. And this Advent, he is once again standing at that door. Will we let this Christ child come into our lives, into our hearts, knowing that by doing so, our lives will be changed forever. Knowing this, will we open that door? We are being shown life that must be lived with compassion and goodness and kindness and love. And when we open that door, we are being called to live into this world with that compassion and to repudiate hatred wherever we find it and reclaim the good news of the gospel. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty. You gave me drink. I was a stranger and you made me welcome. Brennan Manning tells of a family in 1980 in Anderson, South Carolina. A mother who was busy wrapping packages and asked her young son if he would shine her shoes for her to wear to church for Christmas Day. The boy, who was 7, took his responsibility very seriously, and he polished them to a bright, shining gleam, and he presented the shoes to his mother. She was so pleased that she gave him a quarter for all his hard work. On Christmas morning, when she went to put the shoes on, there was something in her shoe. So she took it off, and she took it out, and she found a quarter wrapped in a piece of paper. And written on the paper, in a child's laborious handwriting, were the words, "I done it for love." And perhaps that's the mystery of Advent, of this Advent, that God comes to us, that God is truly with us in all our messiness, all our brokenness, just as we are, not for who we ought to be, or could be, or should be, or are trying to be, but exactly as we are, right here, right now, accepting us, blessing us, you and me, us and them, just loving us and expecting absolutely nothing in return. So on this fourth Sunday in Advent, may we take this gift so freely given and live the rest of our lives loving one another as we are so loved. May we always see Christ in the stranger and each other and treat each other with love and with dignity and respect. May we always know that God is with each and every one of us every moment of our lives, and we are never alone. And know, absolutely, that he has brought us home. May we this Advent commit to helping to heal and renew our community and our world with our compassion and our love. And at the end of our lives, when our time on this earth is over, may we stand at that stable with the shepherds and the angels and Mary and Joseph and look into the manger and be able to say, "We done it for love." Amen.